breaking something off, piece of stuff. We'll be doing the David Price. Although I got tickets to the 135 game on Saturday. That's all. That's, oh yeah. That 135 game is like the movies at 4 o'clock. Yeah. All the old folks go to that game so they can make it through the whole game. You do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We ready, Chris?
Everybody make sure they speak into the mic. Their mic's on.
Okay. We're good. All right, let's get the meeting started. 6 o'clock. Water Commissioners meeting underway. Any comments? You want to have any comments from anything you'd like to say, you guys, beforehand we get started here? Yeah? Okay. I'd like to thank Fran and Stan for coming to the meeting tonight. We're moving into a spot where we're getting close here to committing to doing some solar, and not that we haven't already committed, but I mean like the real deal, like signing this, and we need you guys to know what we're going to be doing here. And we've been to the Civic Association 3 times. We'll go our 4th time coming up. We hope they bring as many people as they can to see this, and we're ready to go. And I'm sure Zach and Andrew are too. They've been patient and they've been putting some work in. So they're going to go over where they are tonight, and hopefully you guys will have an understanding of where we are on this, these solar arrays and the cell tower. Okay? All right, so that's my... I like you. How was that? Good? All right, thanks. We'll get started on the minutes, please.
Make a motion to accept the minutes as they've been presented to us.
Into the mic, please.
I make a motion we accept the minutes as they've been presented to us.
I second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 That's good. Very good, Chris. Must make you happy. Good boy.
still works.
All right, fellas. We good? All right, that'd be the minutes, the warrants. You ready?
Sure.
Water quality?
Water quality, all tests have come back normal. As I think you were informed last month, we did the lead and copper. We retested those houses, and they both came back lower than before. Some were minimal that you wouldn't believe. So, like, instead of being 0.15 like it was 0.015.
All right. This is the lead testing that we just did in the home.
Yeah, so both of them came down and retested. And it was still passed with the 90%. We still have to do the school. We've just been letting it go. It's probably going to be done next week.
Okay.
Just we wanted to get everybody in there and using the water before we tested it.
That's a good move.
Yeah.
Okay.
Other than that, we're doing pretty well. We just did our byproducts yearly now instead of we used to have to do them quarterly. Everything seems to be going well. That came back minimal still. We just keep doing it yearly. We should be good.
All right. Good. Thank you.
Superintendent's report, August of 2015, we pumped 40,658,000 gallons of water. In August of 2016, we pumped 47,058,000 gallons of water for an increase of 6,405,000. It's been dry.
Oh, yeah.
We have a lot of new counts with same stories usually with the meadows, but we've actually had in 2015 5.5 inches of rain, a little more. We've had a half inch in August this year.
Right.
So a lot of water being used out there. Even though we have put out the voluntary, not everybody's following it.
If you look at my lawn, you know I volunteered.
Yeah. Well, anybody drove by mine, Tom put theirs on a long time. It comes on every year. The wells are doing okay.
Yeah.
They're lower, but they get low like this every year. We're not any worse than last year. We have one station that kind of concerns us a little bit every year, but we've taken care of that by not pumping as much water out of it. The Cape is that unbelievable water underneath it.
We don't have it. We really have an issue with water.
We shouldn't even be in it. I guess right now we're in an advisory status, and we shouldn't even be in that. I mean, it's ridiculous that they put us that with the rest of the. We're not as severe as, say, Central Mass, where they're using the different basins there, but there's no reason to include us with who they do a lot of times. There's no scientific reason, I should say.
We have a spectacular source of water underneath us. We don't have an issue with the amount of water that we have that we can use. We have an issue in terms of DEP giving us a set standard that we have to follow that's about as arbitrary as it gets. So our work is to stay underneath our withdrawal permit as opposed to having enough water to water your yard. We have enough water to water their yard, but we can't let enough water out there, so we go over the withdrawal permit. Yeah.
We did put in 6 new services in August. One over in the Meadows. The rest were 7, I believe, over at 671 Main went in.
Yeah, all right.
And one replacement there and 2 others on Main Street. Yeah, so 3 replacements also.
They have all their services in now?
Yep, they're all in. They're not all on, but they're all in, at least. They had a little lull there where they stopped working for a little while, but then they came back roaring. So I don't think they've sold anything, but they're ready to. They
went
to Vegas.
Went to Vegas for a couple of days.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw, I know Teddy did, in warrants, we bought a generator.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
It's been installed. Gas is hooked up to it. As a matter of fact, I believe today they were gonna do a trial startup, and yesterday I've been on vacation. Occasionally the electrician calls me and says, we're gonna do this, you're gonna get some alarms, and I call Jen and say, listen, you're gonna get some alarms. At some point I'm just gonna give them the regular number.
Your lights didn't dim at your house or anything when they turned it on, Chris?
No.
Oh, good.
So we're doing well. The first quarterly report is due in on October 1st. Jen knows. Jen's sending that in. So that's going right along.
Okay.
Lastly on my list here is the forestry stewardship. I talked to a gentleman by the name of Brian Dale, who is the forester. To do a plan for us. Firstly, I talked to Mr. Perry from the state, and he told me to get a local forester to do a plan, submit the plan, and then we can go with what we have. So I have talked to Brian Dale, and he's extremely busy, and he has suggested and reached out to a friend of his out of Middleborough, John Clement, who is another forester. He actually is retired from the state, I believe, and a forester. And he called and left a message on my phone today saying, I want to tell you how we're going to do it. I called him back and he didn't answer, so we're tagging right now, playing phone tag. But it looks like it's getting going finally, because he wanted to get it going because of the restraints. It has to be done by January.
Okay.
So that's why he's trying to get the gentleman in to get going, get it done and everything else, and he knows of the time restraints to get it done. Other than that, there you go.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chris. Okay, we're going to move on to old business. First one on is updates from GHD Engineering, Russ Kleekamp. Yeah, if you could speak into this, Russ, because we've been having an issue where we're not, and we're not hearing what we're saying, and so we've been ordered to get that done. Firing squad.
No, I'll stand up here.
Walk around. You look more comfortable.
No, I
would you like to sing anything first, Russell?
I would not.
Okay.
I'm saving that for Andrew. So, a few things. The first item I talked with Chris about this today is that if anyone's been by the tank recently, it's coming together pretty good. They get the exterior coat painted. They're working on the interior. So they made good progress with it. Unfortunately, it's a little slower than possible. They're slower than what the inspectors anticipated. We do need to have full-time inspection out there during the painting process because that is one of the more critical components of the tank. Long story short, the inspecting firm, Utility Services, requested an additional 60 hours of time out there. So what that relates to in a cost is $9,390. So I believe that's an additional 68 hours at $120 an hour for the painting. They did go over 3.5 hours during the construction of the tank, which is fairly small. It was only, you know, $400 and some odd. And then there's just a few hours of GHD's time associated with the coordination with the inspector. So the total of that amendment, it would be an amendment to the GHD contract, but really it's all going to Utility Services because they're hired as a subcontractor to us. So I do have that amendment tonight. I didn't put names. I don't know if that's something Chris can sign or if the commissioners want to talk about it first before.
Yeah, we'll discuss it first.
Sure. Okay. So that's one item. There is another change order for the tank. This is change order number two. If you remember, change order number one was actually to reduce, take items out. Mm-hmm. At that time, we didn't secure the USDA funding, so we removed the fencing, the landscaping, and a number of other smaller things. So that change order will be in the amount for $50,900. And what that includes is the fencing that was originally removed. That's $26,700. The 6-foot high black vinyl coated fence. The landscaping to loam and feed the area. The water main work at the Main Street tank, which was $10,800. That's basically the work associated with abandoning the Main Street tank once that goes offline. And I did include in this change order also the lettering of the tank. That was $7,900. The one thing with the painting inspector, he did say with that additional 68 hours, he can cover the inspection services for the lettering as well. And I'll hold him to that. There will actually be a third change order coming up. That's for the buried propane tank. that we'll be putting in there. And then also some additional skate items to make sure that what we're putting in this tank will be compatible at a later date with whatever happens with Open Cape. But I don't expect that. That's probably going to be in the $5,000 to $10,000 range. I haven't got final numbers in for that yet. But I still have to get that change order signed by the contractor internally. So maybe at the next meeting we can bring that up. So these are the copies of amendment number one. And I don't necessarily need you to sign them tonight.
Okay.
Just as long as you have them, I'm not too concerned about it.
Three copies of them, Ross. That's great. Thank you.
The other business with the tank, one item with that $50,000 change order is that it is going to push us into the territory that we need for the USDA grant application. I have been working with USDA, sending them all the required engineering documents. There's a slew of things that they have to get, but there will be some financial coordination, and we'll have to get the district treasurer on board with that to start getting those documents over. Let me reach out to USDA and see exactly what we need to do, and I can send an email back to Chris and let him know what steps we need to take next.
So we all understand what's taking place is with that USDA funding we've been able to put back into the project. The items that we dropped off, which helped us go be below the bid requirements in the beginning. Is that correct, Chris? Am I saying that right, Russ?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's good. Thank you, Russ. I'm glad that we're going to be able to get that stuff back on the tank, because it would probably have been a pain for us to try and get it accomplished.
Yep. No,
that's perfect.
Get it all done.
Yeah. Okay.
The other updates. Was U.S. Wireless going to be here tonight to update on the...
Who was that?
I believe U.S. Wireless. I believe that's Mr. Hesse's car out there, so we'll wait a minute for him to come in.
Okay.
I have been speaking with Open Cape a little bit, pushing them to get that final version of their contract or the lease. At the last meeting, we talked about having the provision for $100 a month maximum in the event the Cape Cod Commission can't sponsor the program after 3 years.
Right, that's after 3 years.
After three years.
Okay.
So I was hoping to get that today. He said he was going to try his best. I haven't got it. When I do get it, Chris, I'll forward it on to you, and you can circulate that.
And that was a maximum of $100 a month?
A maximum of $100.
$100 a month, right. Okay.
And that's in the event the commission no longer sponsors that program. Chances are they're supposed to.
Right.
I would only think at that time more and more municipal facilities would be tying up to the fiber optic, and that's what their goal is. So.
Okay.
Maybe we can wait a few minutes for Mr. Hesse to come in.
All right, that's fine. You want to round them up and we'll get started? Or yeah, okay. We'll go back there to that. The next update is the solar project. Andrew Casey and Zach, if you guys want to do your thing, speak into the microphone. You need somebody to hold that up, Zach? Chair or something?
Yes.
Great. For the record, Zach Farkas, Borrego Solar, project developer here on this project for the last few months we've been working together. The last time I was down, I gave you guys an update on activities that occurred in between the formal award and that meeting, predominantly in what we call initial site discovery. We had our wetlands biologists on site to make sure that there were no wetlands in the area we were considering developing. That came back clean. We ran title reports on both properties to make sure there was no encumbrances that were going to impact our development. That came back pretty clean. There was a little bit of confusion about kind of who the owner is and a couple leases between the fire district and the water district, but I believe that pertains to the water tanks itself. So that looked pretty clean. We also did some preliminary survey to verify some topography on site, locate some areas. And the fourth one was started the interconnection process with Eversource. So when I was at that meeting, I gave that update. I was fairly firm with this board that we needed to get moving on the lease, and I'm very happy with kind of the results of that meeting. So thank you guys very much, particularly to to Jen in the office, did a fantastic job, and attorney Rick Van was really a pleasure to work with, very, very intelligent attorney, who got right to the heart of kind of the areas in the lease that protect you guys as the lessor and also kind of give us the maneuverability we need as the lessee to get this project done. So happy to report that Attorney Mann has signed off from a legal perspective on the form. There were a couple business points that Jen was tracing down, primarily the pilot agreement. There's an assumption in the lease of our tax obligation. And the reason that assumption is memorialized is to give the water district a little bit of upside if the tax obligation, if we're a little conservative. So she had a conversation with the assessor. I believe we're very close, if not in agreement.
Okay.
And I think you guys spoke to the Barnstable attorney, Charlie, is it?
Charlie,
that's right. And so he kind of verified we're in the right range, but ultimately we're going to wait for kind of you guys to get to the comfort level around that. Right. So lease in great shape. I understand there's kind of a couple more conversations we have to have. I'm planning to be at the Civic Association meeting on the 20th and the Prudential meeting on the 26th. If we can't get the lease signed sometime between now and then, happy to show up to that meeting and speak again. But
okay.
Basically, if there are no questions right now, I was going to take you guys a little bit through the layout. We haven't really gone into much detail yet, but
that'd be good.
Okay, so this is the site. The kind of old road here is Sampson's Mill Road. It's an ancient way, not a public way, but will show up on your maps here. So we're kind of, this site is called the Sampson's Mill Road site. This because the property abuts Sampson's Mill, and then this southern parcel we're calling the Main Street site because it abuts Main Street down here, and that's the formal address of it. So as you can see, two somewhat different shaped but similar sized arrays. They're both about 2.8 megawatts DC. So when you calculate the rent payment from both of those, we're in the range of about $85,000 if our tax assumption holds steady. Could go up a little, could go down a little, but that's the basic annual rent that we'd be
both
paying.
Both of them together would generate
the combined annual lease payment for 20 years would be the $84,000. So what we did here is we added a little color. You guys have seen this layout in the black and white version, but I'll start with the first some kind of general thoughts. We're going to access the site along the existing paved road, Sampson's Mill Road. There's a gate right here. Right down here, as well as a crossing of the Eversource easement here, and then another crossing here. So some more work, you may have seen some survey trucks on site. We're putting in our right-of-way crossing application with Eversource. It's a very standard part of the process. Whenever you go under, over, near their transmission lines, we need to record it properly. So we got a full survey crew out there last week, and they're putting that together for us.
How many cleared acres are in the Sampson Mill site?
Sure. So this this property here is 9.9 acres, and this one down here is 9.8 acres. So a little under 20 acres total. And we're looking at, when you look at the two sites, we're talking about 185 acres, and it's about 11% of the footprint. From a design standpoint, originally there were no wetlands on site or close, but we would have stayed outside the 100-foot buffer should we have identified any wetlands. There are three, I believe you guys call them Zone 1 wellhead areas that are a 300-foot radius around the three wells, so 400-foot. So we drew the radii around the three wells and made sure to keep all construction activities, permanent installations outside of those wellhead areas, and certainly made a major effort to keep our equipment pads away from those zone ones. I think what we're certainly gonna do, and we'll get into this in the permitting process as we move forward, but we'll put pans under the transformers if there's ever any leaking. It's vegetable oil, so it's nothing that's gonna be very scary. There'll be no hazardous materials brought on site, but wanna just really, really hammer that point that we're aware this is a wellhead area. One of the main focuses on the northern site was to maintain a sizable setback, not from the homes, but from their property lines. So this setback here is a 200-foot setback that will remain completely wooded. So there'll be no noise, no visibility at all from these people's homes, let alone if they were to walk to the very edge of their property line and kind of peer through. They're not going to see anything. The panels are going to be facing south, so there's going to be no glare, no anything, no noise, that type of stuff. All these panels are facing south. So the 200-foot setback was something that we elected to do just from a good neighborly standpoint, that type of thing. So that really informed the kind of goofy shape, non-standard shape. We avoid some of the major topographical features. There's a lot of kind of dips and pits that are in there, so we want to minimize the amount of civil work we're doing, mainly from a cost standpoint for us, but also just generally speaking, we want to impact the land as little as we can. The thought process being 20 years from now, if we don't install the 2040 version of solar, that we remove everything. It's all aluminum posts that are recyclable and get removed, and you've got kind of a meadow out there that'll eventually grow back in pretty quickly. So that's the northern site. Any particular questions about that one? Sure. They're not. We've done a natural heritage screen, and there are no estimated or priority habitat in that area. As part of our general process, we do send a letter to Fish and Game to say, here's our plans, please review it. The Oliver maps are pretty up-to-date, unlike most states, but in this case, we haven't found any and don't anticipate any, but we will go through the process, and we're staying away from that osprey nest that attacks me every time I walk
out there. What is the distance on Simpson Mill Road that would be cleared of woods on both sides?
So we take into account shading. It's about a 3-to-1 from the southernmost portion of the array to the southernmost portion of the clearing area, and then it kind of moves to about 2-to-1 on the east and west, so that the goal is to have no shade between the hours of 10 to 2.
But if you were walking down Simpson Mill Road from the point that you start to clear at Hillgate, right, if you're walking north east on Samson Mill Road,
yep.
When you reach the point where you started to clear trees, how far is it from there to the end till you stop
the
clearing?
That
distance, exactly.
We don't have it. If I do a quick look, this is 600 feet from the nearest residence, so we're probably looking at about 1,200 feet. Maybe 1,200 to 1,500 feet, just ballparking it right now. What I'm using is the distance from the Main Street array to the nearest home, shouldn't say home, the nearest edge of the lot line is 600 feet. So three times what we're doing up here, so considerable distance. I don't know, is this road used by any public? I see the gate that's always there. I've never seen it.
It's not. There are no vehicles in there.
Yeah.
People may walk that in there.
Okay.
There's quite a bit of walking in there.
Everything
from kids.
Just everything. This whole run
carriages
through here. Yes. So
old Hogies.
Yep. It's tarred in there. Yeah. I was more just kind of wanted to follow up on that question. But there'll be no. All the fences will be outside. It'll be completely accessible and whatnot. But obviously, as you walk along the road, you'll be able to see the site. We plan on using it for access to minimize the amount of road construction we're doing, to minimize the amount of generally work, but disturbance to the area. We will build a small spur off Samson's Mill Road just west of the kind of turn south to that southernmost well there. So the dark black is meant to show the new road that we'll be building. That will not be a paved road. That will be a dirt and gravel road, pretty standard for construction activities. Yes? We will be. For almost every one of our sites, we do the development, we do the construction, we do the financing, and we stay on as the operations and maintenance group. Our team has over 250 megawatts across the country. So it's a very large fleet of projects that we maintain. The focus is obviously maintaining the electrical production of it, But we did, working with your attorney, put some language in the lease that says we have to maintain it in a, you know, generally respectful way. We can't just let everything, you know, grow wild. When we clear and then reseed under here, there's a solar mix that we use that's a mix of kind of well-growing, kind of horizontally growing grasses. There's some clover in there. We've kind of mixed in a bit to help the bee population as we reseed a lot of these areas. But it's a standard solar mix that we'll probably get into in detail with the planning board as we start to go through that process. There's always a lot of questions. Yeah, we'll probably mow it twice a year. Would be the expectation, maybe once a year if we get another summer like this. But the whole kind of interests of both parties are well aligned because we want to keep everything well maintained so the system produces as many kilowatt hours as it can. And if we let the grass grow wild or the trees kind of grow up in shade, it's only going to hurt our economics that we forecast out over the 20 years, which is really why we're doing all this. So the site will be installed here, 2.8 megawatts on this area. There'll be a underground trench to the Eversource poles. There's a lateral line that's running north-south off the easement that feeds three-phase power to the pump houses, I believe. So we will likely upgrade that lateral line from 4 kV up to 13.8 or 22.3 kV. In order to connect there. Mainly it has to do with changing out the transformers and pulling the wire and putting in the right wire there. And that's mainly to help with the thermal properties of producing power on there so those wires don't overheat. The other option we had was to bring both sites to interconnect in the easement, but then that would, I think, create quite an eyesore if you had on one side of this spur your 4 kV and ours on the 22 on the other side. So we're just going to plan on upgrading the whole thing, but we're in that process with Eversource to talk about the most safe, reliable, and cost-effective way to interconnect these systems when the time comes. The southern site is the exact same size. Its shape is a little bit more kind of normal, I guess, for projects. There's less topography in the area, and we're just really staying to the east of these two wellheads. The road is a little bit longer as we build off. That's mainly to keep all construction activities outside of those Zone 1 wellhead areas. The only permanent work in the wellheads will be a gravel road as shown in the black, and then four utility poles that'll just be a very standard pole that'll house the meters and the reclosers and whatnot that interconnects the system. So this would interconnect. There's four poles on the lateral line. This one would interconnect at the northernmost pole, and then this one would interconnect at the second to last pole to the south. So like I mentioned, we have a survey crew out there who's taking survey points of this crossing of the Eversource easement as well as this crossing. And once we have that, it's like a really, really detailed survey that shows line heights and kind of essentially proves that the type of construction equipment or anything, any vehicles we have traveling underneath won't impact the wires. We're not actually crossing the easement with any electrical, so it's a pretty simple process. You guys may or may not have already gone through it with the utility if they built that easement before you guys were building your wells. So again, same size, about 2.8 megawatts, a little bit smaller on the acreage, but ultimately two kind of twin projects from an electrical standpoint. The inverters are string inverters. They're 60 kilowatt string inverters, about the size of kind of a college mini fridge type deal. And they're distributed across the system, and they're mounted on the back of the racks. The equipment pads that are shown are to house, for each site, a 2000 kVA transformer. That transformer will take the 480 volt AC that the inverters spit out, and it'll take it up to the 22 kV, and then we'll interconnect it. So there's two equipment pads. Really, the equipment pads are the only impervious surface that we're introducing. It's about a 20 by 10 type pad, so it's not small, but it's not very large. And when it came to decommissioning, that's really the only part of the system that would require any kind of heavy work that we'd kind of have to jackhammer out of there. Everything else is installed with either screws, big ground screws that are about 6 feet tall that are just literally look like big screws with a female top where we mount our racking in. And depending on the geotech report, we'll either use ground screws or we'll use driven piles. And again, like I said, both are an anodized aluminum or some type of recyclable steel that 20 years from now will essentially pose no major trash problem.
So, Zach, there's a number of different ways to mount those, and I'm just trying to envision the rack system. It's similar to the one that's up there off of Exit 5. That kind of, is it a...
It's
galvanized or a pipe type of racking
it
system?
Could be. If we do the pipe, if we do the screws, it'll be a circular galvanized pipe. It's not quite going to be as...
Where the Dennis project at the dump is huge concrete.
Yeah, well, not that's a ballasted system. We will be penetrating from about 6 feet deep to stabilize our poles. So it'll either be a ground screw with a circular pole rack mounted on top, or it'll be an I-beam driven pile.
That was amazing how many of those things we put down there at the Dennis.
Yep.
Facility.
Yeah, it's gonna. It'll.
These trucks just kept coming.
Yeah.
For months.
Yep. Those ballast blocks are incredible. For a landfill project, you can't penetrate. You can't disturb the ground at all.
Oh,
so you've gotta find a way to stabilize.
Right.
I mean, these things are. You've seen them. They look
so
like big sails, right?
But that deep, and they were. They set them in there.
Yep.
Yeah,
so you need to make sure the system is structurally sound, so that they're almost like wind sails when the wind starts blowing the wrong way. The panels will be mounted on, there'll be two panels high in portrait, and there'll be about six panels wide for each rack. So these racks are, we call them tables when they're fully assigned, so there's a series of tables that are rows and a series of rows that make up the system. It'll be the leading edge, it'll be about a 30-degree tilt. The leading edge will be about 30 to 36 inches off the ground, and the top edge will be about 10-12 feet high. So nothing too crazy on the heights, very standard for what you see. I think when we get deeper into the process, especially the permitting process, we'll have a lot of pictures with people standing next to these arrays, so there's a really good feel of what it's going to look like. But very standard type systems. I think compared to that one right off the highway in Plymouth, it's being nice, it's not going to be that kind of chintzy looking.
I didn't mean it in that respect. I just never. I noticed it today, as a matter of fact. I was looking at it when I was up there in Plymouth today. I went, that's what the rack's going to look like.
I mean, it's kind of similar look and feel, right? It's a big table, but I think a little bit more substantial than that. Those are the cost-effective and all, I guess you could say it.
Are you familiar with the solar field off Snake Pond Road in Sandwich?
I'm not.
Okay. Because I was out there. They put it in probably 5-6 years ago.
Okay.
I went out there yesterday to look at it. I think they have the I-beams that were.
Yep. It makes sense. Down in Southeast Mass, you see the I-beams, the driven piles, because the sandy soils make a lot of sense. When you start getting out in the cobbly stuff in Western Mass and whatnot, you start seeing more of the ground screws. In this case, prior to finalizing our design, really, once we signed the lease and we established site control, that's when we kind of released the next kind of big volley of cash into this project to develop it. It includes moving in an impact study with the utility in the range of $50,000. It includes all the entitlement permitting, planning board, no real conservation commission here. We'll file an RDA with them just to make sure that they're on record with knowing what's going on. Not sure exactly the jurisdiction of Cape Cod Commission here. I think they mainly focus on a lot of the private projects, but for public land, I'm not sure how much they have. But ultimately, we'll work through the entire permitting process, which you can imagine is maybe not super burdensome from a hard cost standpoint, but from time, engineering, and whatnot, certainly a lot of resources. But what I was getting at is one of the tests we'll also do is some geotech testing. We'll send out a small skid steer and probably for a system like this, three or four test pits for each site. We'll fill them back in. They'll be about the size of a normal test pit. But the whole point is to get an idea of the subsurface conditions that will inform our foundation design and structural design as we move toward a construction level drawing. I should have started with this. The heavy green is areas that will not be touching at all. The light green is areas that will be cleared but then allowed to grow back up over the 20-year period. There might be some minor clearing just outside the fence. The red is just kind of a little bigger than normal, but that's a security fence. It's kind of two standards, or a 6-foot fence with a 1 foot of barbed wire, or an 8-foot fence. And, you know, there's also some language in the lease that you guys have to kind of be part of the process and make sure you approve the look and the feel of this thing. Sometimes that barbed wire can get a little prison-y feeling, and if you've got some people walking through, you kind of aesthetically want to do what we can. So that's the fence. And then,
well, we got good ones walking through, and we got bad ones walking through. So we got both of them.
That's a good point, though. Have you attempted to document the walking trails through there using either satellite imagery or aerial photography or ground truth?
We will when we do the full boundary and topo survey. Right now we're using a skeletal survey, GIS LIDAR based, and so, you know, we're mainly focusing on the two paved roads that are existing right now. I've walked these sites a bit, and they're not small, right, but they're not huge, but I haven't seen a ton of walking paths in the area, but I would defer to you guys.
They made that path for the brush breaker.
Cool.
The road to nowhere.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Okay.
The road to nowhere. But there, the whole area is heavily used by families and kids and old buggers like me walking that area. And Samsonville Road for sure is heavily used. But there are some trails that go through there. One cuts down to the cemetery. That's kind of a main trail, but there are some other ones that get back into the development and stuff.
Unfortunately, there's no trespassing signs out there, too, and they really shouldn't have anybody out there, to be honest with you.
Yeah, when we cited this array, we took in mind, obviously, access, construction, the wellheads, but we're also very aware of the kind of community back here. Yeah, there's a lot of dirt roads and stuff that may or may not be permissible, and we're also we're very cognizant of the fact that you guys have the cemetery down here, well maintained. So we're actually we're over 1,000 feet from that. There's like a pit there. It looks like you guys might use it for some a refuse. There you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's a ton of room from that cemetery. This will be the pole. The four poles here will be on our access road. These will be in line with the existing poles. Yeah, this road is going to be just inside the road. It does fall off pretty steep, so we're going to have to, when we survey it, find out exactly where they go. Yeah, I guess you're talking about the black roads. Yes, I don't want to create false expectations that when there's 3 inches of snow, we're going to go out there and plow it. We're likely going to get some direction from the fire department that talks about their vehicles to make sure turning radius and all that type of stuff. And we'll know from our discussions with the fire department exactly what depth of snow that those vehicles can handle. And at that point, that'll be how I would imagine the planning board would put conditions on our special permit that would say maintenance per the fire department or police department. It's a financial exercise. If we're looking at a winter like last year where there's barely any snow and you get a couple storms here and there, these are 30-degree tilt. They're going to get, they don't get hot, but they're going to shed snow pretty quickly. I think if you guys drive around any residential neighborhood, you see how the homes with solar on their roof seem to shed quickly. So if we get a really bad winter like 2 years ago and, our finance guys are saying, man, this thing's been buried or this thing's been covered for a week now, we got to get someone out there, we will. It's kind of a cost trade-off. How much does it cost to mobilize our O&M team to go out there and plow and clear versus how many more kilowatt hours do we think we're going to produce? So we'll plow it out.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm asking for no kind of special consideration in terms of maintenance or whatnot from you guys as the lessors. We're trying to be the quiet neighbors to pay their rent.
All right. More questions? Fran, you have any questions? No?
So, 85,000 a year, what we
well? Yeah.
The board, or excuse me, the water department, yes, the 85, the town, we're modeling an additional $12,000 a megawatt, so my math teacher would kill me for having to do this, but... Okay. Terrible. So dependent on this sort of thing. So, and we would, we're assuming another $67,000 in tax payments to the town. I don't know how you guys work it. Probably to Barnstable, but I don't know what would go to Kituit, but
our,
that would be
our water company bills are what, around $78,000, $79,000 for electricity for a year?
73.
Okay.
And this isn't just to, you probably know this, this isn't obviously any electricity credits, right? This is straight cash payments that... Okay, yeah. Net metering agreement would be for the utility payments. Down here.
That's the one that's coming down, Stan. Main Street. That King's Grant is on the left-hand side, there on the bottom by the north. That's where King's Grant and the tennis courts are. And then the opposite side is... It is Newtown Road, correct?
Yeah, this is that kind of intersection, Main Street, Newtown, and then.
Yeah, we should really put those on that larger map, and I just penciled those in crudely now, but that's essentially.
Yeah, I mean
they're
once. When we get into the permitting standpoint, when there's kind of the public hearings and whatnot. This one-page kind of display turns into about a 15-page display that would show something similar to this, but then we'll kind of zoom in on this area and be a lot more detailed. It'll show our phasing plan, construction plan. It's a much more detailed design set, but ultimately we'll capture the same look and feel of what's going on here. As you move forward in the process, there's really four steps for the design. The first is what we call our preliminary design before we've really kind of released a lot of development spending. The next is what we call our permit set, which creates really the base plan, kind of defines the footprint of what we're going to be installing, and then we move into construction level details, and eventually it turns into a 70-sheet IKEA instruction manual that tells our subcontractors how to build it. And that plan is what goes to the building inspector for its final approval to make sure it remains consistent with all the restrictions that have been placed on it through the special permit process.
Fran?
Sorry.
It's Tuesday evening.
Yep. Small. So zoom out a bit. I got a note a little bit late in the week. Or late in the day, I guess. I didn't get a chance to add the street names, but I'm going to add street names, put some more information on there. So I could bring a couple different views. I could bring, I guess, zoom out even more to kind of locate everybody. Okay. Yep. Absolutely.
I would like to say I'm involved with three solar projects in the town of Sandwich, part of the review process. And the setbacks you have here of 200 feet from that one section and 600, is the people in town need to know how good that is from them. Because I know there's one that Eversource wants to do in Sandwich up Tupper Road. We're talking about a 50-foot setback.
Yeah, I believe.
Existing structures, which is not very much.
Yeah, I believe the bylaws here are similar, that, you know, as the letter of the law is written, it's the 50-foot setback, and that's a 50-foot setback to structures. So as a developer, there are plenty of times I'm in a situation where I'm putting that fence at 38 feet and the first root panel at 40 feet, but like I said, in this case, we understand this is public land. There's going to be a lot more scrutiny here. We're on the Cape. There's, you know, a lot going on. This is a, you know, very nice neighborhood to the north. We got, you know, a really beautifully maintained cemetery to the south, so... The benefit we have is 185 acres to work with, so we're trying to site it where it makes the most sense for you guys as lessors, for us as, you know, a construction company that, I mean, we don't want to build in these kind of pits over here, and then also, like I said, to try to be as good a neighbors as we can. This thing's going to be there for 20 years, and I'm sure there's going to be a couple people with some pitchforks and torches, but, you know, change is a little bit difficult, but. You know, I'd like to think, you know, this solar stuff we're doing is kind of good with a capital G, and it's kind of getting us moving in the right direction.
This is
the one you guys are calling the Main Street tank?
Yes.
Yeah, no, not, not even close. Yeah. Yeah, when we were on the phone, so we can talk about it a little bit, but one of the points that came up in our lease is this kind of interesting concept called insulation, and with an O, and it's the concept that you guys, as you're developing, I mean, you have every right to develop the rest of the land, but like I said, these kind of setbacks and whatnot are consistent with about 60-foot trees that are out there. If you guys are going to put a cell tower or a water tank, there are some limitations to where you can put those based on the lease. So I think it's important that you guys, when you think about future development for siting, that, you know, we're not planning to build that cell tower right here, you know, that type of thing. When you get anywhere north of the system, there's a reason we're not clearing any trees, because there's no sun from the north. But it's an interesting concept, but no, that water tower is, you know, if it's a 200 feet, yeah. And it's east, right? It's over in this area? Oh, yeah, yeah. So anywhere down here, we're fine. It's really just kind of in here is the danger zone, and like right in here. So.
Stan?
We did a historical land review, and no flags came up. We're quite familiar with that. We've seen sites where we've been kind of at this stage of development, and we've identified, you know, a potential cave or area that's been used. And, you know, frankly, it's not a lot of fun to be the guy standing with the microphone saying we're going to bulldoze over that. So we don't, unlike some of the other solar developers, I really have no interest in covering up wetlands or doing any of that stuff to force a project through. And that's why kind of at risk, just based on really a handshake award from the committee after the RFQ, we went and we spent the initial money that I can stand here and say we reviewed it. We talked to Natural Heritage. We talked to Historical Society. We talked to a bunch of people and started these processes. So we don't spend all this time and energy, and then right when everyone shakes hands, I show up next month and say sorry. So long answer to yes, we reviewed it.
Vic, you have more?
No, I do have some concerns, particularly about that Sampson Mills site.
What are the concerns with?
I think the concerns are that is heavily used by the public, and we say we closed it, but we don't.
But it's not a recreation area out there.
It's not a recreation area, but I mean, historically, that road has been used by families, by kids, as a walking path. And in fact, in the wintertime, that is the only road that's open, you know, for people to walk on. It's open long before Main Street is, and Chris knows that.
I'm out there every day, just like you are.
Yeah. And I think that would degrade that site for family use, for citizen use. And I mean, if we're serious about posting water company landings, feeding people off of it, that would be one thing. But we're not. I mean,
well, we've been kind to them. We've been kind to all of us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my real concern about that site.
The Water Department land predominantly in Massachusetts is not used for recreation, Vic.
I know.
It's fenced in most places.
Yeah. Well, in a lot of states will fence it
all. Senate Velocitable has it all posted and all fenced off. They need to keep people out of there, essentially. We're being kind to them to let them in. It comes a time when we're going to be developing this property for the betterment of our community and for the betterment of the energy, that those things are going to have to be considered. And if you want to have people walking in there, that's fine. I understand. I don't think they're not going to be able to walk in there.
No, none of the project, the fencing, is
not
going to encumber that path.
Yeah,
it will just be...
You won't have any trees.
You won't look into any trees.
Yeah.
And it's a trade-off. It's a trade-off between us generating
and these
energy for
community
in a solar way versus
yes.
Recreational use. So I it is a trade-off, and I think we have to balance those uses somehow.
Well, in my observation and opinion on that is that because it is the property of the district, and not meant for recreation or anything, allowing people all these years to use it as a walking trail and then at the time we want to use it for purposes we think are important, to have those people we allow to walk there say we can't use it because we walk here now, doesn't quite seem to make sense to me.
I think the bottom line is that they're going to be able to use it. I think I don't think we panic personally, and I understand Vic where you're coming from, and I appreciate that. And I don't think we panic because there's not going to be any trees for 120 feet of that road. I just don't think we do. Well, technically, Stan.
Technically, no. This is our water department. This is our well fields.
But they've been using it for 100 years.
But they've been using it for a long time. I use it. I'm out there every day walking that out there. No kidding. I was out there this morning. In the morning from 5 o'clock to about 8 o'clock, there's 4 different dogs that are out there and 6 different people. And I see them. I know them. I talk to them. And then,
Vic, you have a specific time that you go. It's the same people.
Well, I go all different times of the day, and I mean, Chris knows it. I mean, from driving out there, you see all kind of people.
I bump into people all the time. I have to tell my guys, make sure you don't go too fast out there. You know, before we put the pavement down, we had horses. People riding horses down that road every day. There's wildlife in there, yes. There's people in there constantly walking. We have people now that go in there with the strollers, the kids off, and that's where the kids, I started learning to walk.
One woman. One woman has a stroller that goes through there. She doesn't live here. She's from New York. She comes down for the summertime. I know her.
And there's one I jumped, running away from bikes.
They still can.
I would tell people that they couldn't walk, ride their bike.
Yeah.
Even,
why are we gonna do that?
I might frown on the kids because they're old, you know, with the skateboards and everything else, and the liability there. But it's safe for them to walk. It gives me a little peace of mind, you know, that they can do what they want in there. We do put posted signs. We have to cover our own. So if they are posted, you're not supposed to trespass on them. In my feeling, people walking by them, is anybody gonna get hurt? Physically walking by, you're not admitting anything.
The way you're talking, there's nothing coming off of it or anything like that. So
we're talking about an ISIL.
We're talking about not a prison
in my backyard.
Right, that's fine. We're fine with
that.
I think if we actually, I could ask Mark. But I'd be willing to tell you that if I went to Mark and asked him what we should do with that property, should we have people on that property walking through there? Well, I don't know. What is your guess that he might say to us? That's our community. It's what we got. I mean, we have to face the facts that we're actually bending the rules to let them in. The reality is they shouldn't be in there because we don't want to pay.
I don't know whether that falls under the...
What about the guy that racked into that gate? Remember we had that conversation about that guy that whacked that gate in Hanson, and then the community got sued for the kid dying from the gate, taking his head off from the gate? The gate was there?
I don't know whether this falls under the same rules of an ancient way, but if you use access for a number of years without restricting that access or enforcing it, then it becomes an ancient way, and then it's like town ways to the water. You can't restrict access.
Unless you put up some arborvitaes.
Poison ivy. But if we don't restrict the access, then the complaint is just we don't want to look at those when we go do our walk. And I don't think we need to worry about the visual effect of people going for a walk. If they want to use it to walk, they can use it to walk. Hmm. We want to use it to take care of the electrical debt we have with the water department and help, you know, ease the burden on the taxpayers.
And ease the burden on our fossil fuels if you want to go that far, you know. We got to do our part.
And we're really prioritizing this neighborhood. By pushing this array as close to Sampson's Mill Road as possible, we're kind of prioritizing, you know, the home values and kind of day-to-day experience of people who actually live here versus people who are passing through. But yeah, to be clear, There's the red is the security fence. I think certainly we're willing to work with you guys and really the well, maybe more the planning board than you guys, but as a lessor certainly on kind of a fence that might be a little more aesthetically pleasing, maybe some privacy slats or something like mm-hmm. that. Maybe no barbed wire, we'll just do the full 8 feet so we meet NEC code, National Electric Code. Are some solutions we've used in the past to kind of soften the blow a little bit. Sometimes a naked metal chain link fence out there is a little bit.
Okay.
Well, the black, you know, coated one. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, by in there, you mean in, like if they jump the fence? I mean, if they jump the fence and don't touch anything, then okay, but I wouldn't, it seems a little, I can't really picture that, but it seems a little too safe. If they go in there, there's, you know, if this is a live electricity, you know, renewable power plant, if they go in there and they don't know what they're doing, there's a high chance that they're going to get hurt. They should not be in there. And that's why the security fence is there. That's why there's, you know, all the National Electric Code voltage, all the postings, all the warning signs. No one's gonna wander into there by accident. For sure.
All good points. Thanks. Everybody. Yeah, all very good points. I appreciate you guys coming because this is where we needed to be so that you guys could take this back. I haven't really had any kind of feeling as to whether you guys are plugged into what was actually happening here. Yeah. And we had been to the Civic Association 3 times, and we still didn't think that anybody was really plugged in. And now it's time. So we're getting there, and we can sign this lease. Yeah. They'll be notified.
We haven't started the public hearing process from a permitting standpoint. We've been focused mainly with the water department because they're the landowner. If this was private owned land, I'd just negotiate with you, we'd sign a lease, and then people would learn about it. So everyone's kind of getting a head start here, which is maybe good, but also maybe bad, because usually when we just do the public hearing at the special permit of the planning board, then people are able to come and we have a much more detailed presentation to give. In this case, you know, we don't have a ton of information because we haven't got there yet. But ultimately, when we do, I think all abutters within 200-foot radius of, I guess it'll be both sites. So people over here will be notified, this whole group will be notified, and they'll all kind of standard process for a public hearing or a special permit. I'm sure you guys will go through the same thing with the cell tower.
So we're signing the lease with the go button.
Signing the lease is the go button to allow me the comfort to put more money at risk. I recognize you're not giving me permission to build. You're giving me permission to build if the other authorities that have jurisdiction. Yep, exactly. So it's the keep going button, I guess.
It's not the end, but it's a good start.
Oh, no. I wish it was that easy. So in a in a perfect world, we would sign the lease this month, whether it's at Civic Association or the next Prudential Committee meeting, and we would start what's called the impact study, and that would move till January, February before we got the permission from the utility. In parallel to that, we'd be working with the planning board to get their permission, and we'd like to probably have that a little bit before year's end, but neither you couldn't really go forward until you had both. Then after we got the interconnection permission and the town permission to build, then we'd launch that final site discovery and final design effort. We'd likely put our building permit in March or April, and then start construction in May, June of next year, finishing right around now of next year. So we're about, when are we, about 5 months into this so far, 4 or 5 months into this so far, so we'd probably get another year to go. It's about an 18-month process from start to finish.
So when we take this process to the planning board and then eventually it will get to the commission, people will have an opportunity then to go to these meetings and review this process and give their reasons.
That's correct.
And that's when the people of our community will have an opportunity to object or not to object. And then the commission or the planning board will take that in consideration. And then I think whatever the commission decides, correct me if I'm wrong, Russ, in this process, it's pretty much going to be what the planning commission in the town says you can do. And they're going to go along with that commission.
You mean Cape Cod Commission?
Cape Cod Commission, correct. Okay. Zach, you do a good job. Thank you.
My pleasure. My
okay.
My plan is to kind of do something similar on the 20th.
Perfect.
And
yeah.
There'll
be more people and
more
objections
detail.
And more stuff, but we'll be good.
Yeah, that's fine. I think you know, the biggest challenge is kind of presenting these a little bit prematurely in the public hearing, which we will be doing, but nothing we can.
Well,
do.
This one here, we've been going along giving people enough information to be dangerous, but now's the time to.
Yep.
Because we're inches away from moving forward. And
yeah, I just want to make sure during that process or meeting, like we understand the delineation between kind of discussing the project conceptually at that meeting versus getting into the how am I going to phase construction, what am I going to do for that, which would be more of a planning board.
I don't think you're expected to do that.
Yep. No,
I don't think you're expected to do that, no.
I'm not scared of saying no, but I just want to kind of.
I don't think there's going to be any engineers in the out there. Firing at you.
Nope, doing both in parallel. That's right. Yep.
So, another thing too, just to reiterate on a good job, but this is not life or death here. I mean, there's no money coming out of the district for this. We're not losing anything here. We're reviewing what this community should be reviewing to help pay for some of the freight that we have, and we're going to lose that freight, and it's coming down. It's coming down soon. As soon as we disconnect some pipes over there, we've got a few months before that tank's going to freeze up. And that tank's going to come down. So we need to keep moving to get the money that we have coming in to support us. And we're reviewing a lot of stuff here. We're doing rate surveys. We're doing tower rentals. We're doing, you know, everything we can to make this thing fly. So I just hope that people, and I want the Prudential Committee to understand that we're busting it. There might be some disagreements here and there, but we need to get it accomplished. So thanks again for coming. I appreciate it. Okay? All right. Thank you. And you guys are not dismissed. Zach dismissed. Russell's next again. No, the bottom line on signing the lease is it can either be done by me or by Fran, either one of us. I did, Fran. I've already done that. Yeah. You or I can sign this lease. Either one of us. It doesn't have to be. I asked Mark. I'm just telling you what Mark said to me. We went over this with Mark, and he worked on it. But you should check with him. That'd be a good thing to do. Yeah. I don't think we will.
We'll discuss tonight, and if for an interview, we still have the next financial meeting to talk about again. Time to advertise for it and everything. And we'll get together a little forward. I'll ask to just talk to you about it, and then you can come back and talk to everybody.
See you guys next Tuesday, and then again
sounds good.
In the following
thanks,
Monday.
Zach.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
You did good. I'll be in contact with you to let us know when our next meeting is, too.
Sure.
All right, but
we'll be in contact before that. We'll talk to you at, we'll see you at the Civic Association meeting, and we'll talk to you there afterwards.
Very good.
Thank
okay,
you thank
you.
Thank you. You good? Okay. Russell, we're back to Russell.
So I did speak on the phone with Mr. Hesse. He didn't have a schedule and sent his apologies. He
okay, so this is having to do with the tower.
With the with the cell phone tower. So what he did tell me was he spoke with Attorney Mann on the phone today. He believes they're at a point where he's going to get the final lease or an agreement with all the terms. His one question was similar signatory line. Who should be signing on behalf of the...
We'll get to
okay. So we'll let him know. If he gets, what procedure would you like to follow once that lease is complete? Would it like, you know, obviously to be circulated and reviewed by the commissioners and prudential committee?
Right. Yeah. You know, I'd like to plug everybody into that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So provided everyone, yay or nay, if it did move forward, the signing would be anticipated at the following prudential committee? Not Tuesday's meeting, but the following prudential committee meeting, possible. Potentially?
I don't want to commit anything right now on that, but it could be a possibility. I'll talk to Frank about that.
Okay. As with regards to Tuesday's meeting, is there going to be a PowerPoint set up?
I don't know that. Do we find out from them? Do we have? Should we have a PowerPoint?
That's a no.
The fire station has a PowerPoint. I know they do. Whether it's the poison gas screen from the library or something like that, I don't know.
Well, the library
is we'll stand by. If we'll bring printouts.
So we're in. We're pretty much redlined out with this the lease terms for Chris Hesse and the. It's important to move forward.
Yeah, from what I'm told, they're in agreement.
Yeah.
Our issues
also stand with the leases that we have with the other carriers. We are, you know, we need to move towards giving them some place to put their antennas, and we don't want to be embroiled in something like that. We don't want to be. We want to get them a tower up there. It's pretty painless. It's going to.
We don't have a contract at one of them, and
no.
So I would let it last.
That's month to month.
One of them states we still do have quite the contract with them, and the other one, I believe, is like 3 years old.
Okay. That's fine. Well, this is the information that we need to pass along to you guys. I don't know if you guys realize what we've been doing over here, but there it is. Yeah. So we kind of been moving along, and it's time to pay attention. Okay.
Very good.
All right. Thanks, Russ.
Okay.
Appreciate
welcome.
It a bunch. Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
It's more of an informational deal than anything.
Well, Amy files her complaint. You guys can testify that we didn't make any decisions.
No, we didn't make any decisions. I didn't know that two of you were going to be here.
just for you, Fran, we have had a gentleman by the name of Attorney Rick Mann, who is a we've had to our past contracts. We did not use Mark because we used him for some of the stuff that we have on the tank. And because he is a contract lawyer, we've had him involved with both of these. He's already come to an agreement with the solar gentleman that we talked to tonight after two red lines. One he called one red line event, getting together, talking with Jen and I, boom, everything's just ready to be signed. The other one, it's gone back and forth probably 8 times. He makes the corrections. The guy finds something else he wants to talk about. Sometimes it comes down to just words that he's talking, the definition of a word. So he's been a lot of negotiation there, too. I don't know afterwards. I just don't want to get in a situation where you say, you know, it hasn't been reviewed at all.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, and we have been in touch with Mark, and I would suggest you call him. Just ask, you know, what our feelings, I believe, are to try to get the best we can and keep everybody involved on it and make sure everybody's on the right path. Yeah, I'd push it and turn it on.
Burning up all that electricity.
Yeah. Oh, dimmed it down? Yeah. Okay. All right, thank you.
Evening.
All right. We got new business.
We lost our audience.
Okay, you bet. Okay, thank you.
My windows are up.
All right, new business. Tour the Chatham facility with Russell.
Did you have a date, Mr. Kleekamp, before you leave?
That meeting's been filed. You guys are going down there?
Yeah. What day of the
week
is that? Yeah.
The 12th.
Posted, right?
10-12 at 12 p.m.
What day of the week is that?
That is Wednesday.
Okay. All right.
Jen has to post that, doesn't she?
It's already been posted.
Has it?
Yeah, the announcement is.
Do we have to actually open a meeting and?
In your package.
Yeah, one of the things we want to consider at that meeting is, you know, eventually we're going to determine how many cameras we want at each station. One, two, what the field of view is. Do we want the front door all around it? I've already talked with our SCADA and security person, and it's still a little premature at this point. I mean, we've got to get the fiber in the ground first before we do anything, and that's going to take a few months to do. So this, obviously, you know, the Chatham is going to be the start of it. How many cameras, then how many screens do we want? You know, if you have two cameras at each station, plus at the tanks, you have 12, 13, 14 cameras, and you have one monitor that's 20 inches, and you have all the little tiny, it's almost pointless. So you do got to figure out what's the smallest screen, 6x6, 6x8, and then how many monitors that plays into. There is with the grant, I mean, we do have the luxury of, you know, purchasing equipment that's related to that. We didn't spec out, we didn't specify, we didn't tell USDA the specifics on, we're going to get one 50-inch monitor. You know, we have the money to get what you guys want.
Typically, what do they put on a tank? You know, how many cameras would you have on the tank?
It all comes down to security. If there's a good point to mount it facing the tank door and the gate, the fence gate point, you know, these cameras have the capability of zooming in quite a bit, you know, to pick up a license plate number or facial recognition, something like that. If we go for a higher dollar camera, when I say, you know, a $5,000 camera versus a $3,000 camera. So that does cut down the number of cameras you need. I would hope at least one per facility. There might be a unique case where you might want two cameras, you know, that they can tilt and pan and up and down, and they're pretty versatile what they can do. They're going to have to be securely mounted wherever they're mounted. You know, there's going to have to be something around them, you know, to prevent them from being target practice. Or something, you know, just people throwing rocks at them or whatever the kids do nowadays. But, you know, these are all things we'll work into the plan. But just think about that, and then where is it going to go in the office? And is it going to be cluttered? Do you want to view it from your desk, from another desk? Where should it be? Do we want multiple cameras so we can have something up front, something in the back? A lot of variables to start thinking about here.
They do have them, because at the police station in Sandwich, they have one that's probably 5 feet wide that shows sites from all over the town.
Sure.
that are amazing. Some of the stuff we see is unbelievable.
Well, I bet you see a lot of it. Chatham has used the cameras for a few different things, some good and some unfortunate for some employees that weren't doing things that they're supposed to be doing. And then with that fiber optic network, there is the future capability. There are other potential opportunities, things you can do with that. You can have voiceover networks. You can have closed systems. You can have phone systems. You can have networking if there's ever computers in any of these facilities. You can have that gets kind of more in towards the business. There's probably more than what we need to think about now, but that ability is with all those additional fibers. You can start potentially thinking about that. And, you know, if you do want to have a private, you know, closed communication system to pick up a phone and have it call back the office, call station one, call station two. It's all there. Maybe get rid of some radio or just all things to think about. Okay. October 12th. Right.
Thank you.
You did good, Russ.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Russ.
So are we just going to meet up there or are we going to?
Russ.
Yes.
Are you guys going to meet someplace to go for one vehicle? Are y'all going to meet there? How do you want to do it?
Let's coordinate it.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
We're going to do that next.
Yeah,
we can do that next. Talk about the rate survey. How's the rate survey?
The rate survey is great. Jen Lefkowitz gave me a couple notes here to tell you guys about. You guys requested from her what the water employee benefits amounted to.
Mm-hmm.
Those were $42,000. The retired employee benefits.
The employee benefits.
The water employee benefits are $42,000. The retired employee benefits are $16,500. And insurance for the water department is $65,000.
That's you guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
The employees.
Okay.
I believe. It might even be retired. I don't know if it has something to do with retired also.
All right.
But
that's
all in the district report. It's all public knowledge, so I'm not taking that from anything private. I'm taking it right from the book. Actually, I'm taking it from Jen, who took it from the book.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jen.
Yeah, Jen did good.
That was as of 2015.
Okay. And I think it's in here, isn't it, too?
Yeah.
In the annual report?
In the annual report, the book, yeah.
So are we going to consider hiring someone to do it, or are we going to try to do something ourselves?
That's up to you guys.
That's the million-dollar question.
Oh.
So there's been some rate surveys already done. Go ahead, Bob.
We got input from your interview that you brought back to us.
Yeah.
How does the Prudential Committee feel about what our rate should cover, what our collections should cover versus, you know, what our expenses are?
I can tell you, I mean, in all the discussion we've had about rates, Stan has come to meetings or I've seen him at some of the policy advisory meetings. His statement has always been that we are not covering our expenses. And he considered this information we just got right now, as far as benefits, retired benefits, and insurance, as part of our expenses, and we didn't. We took it as our operational cost.
Yeah.
So, if you look, it all depends on what you're looking at, an apple or an orange. You've got to look at the same thing. If we're going to talk together and work this thing out, if we're going to include all that stuff that is part of our expenses, then we're not self-supporting to our rates.
But the other things that can be added in there, capital expenses, should we be...
That's a decision we have to make. I mean, I think I've made myself pretty clear that I don't see how that can be a... It doesn't make sense to me. It just would make it too... every year it would be like a yo-yo depending on what... If there's an emergency and we have to spend a lot of money,
yeah,
and then the rates can be...
Going up and down.
Right.
Yeah,
there.
Which is crazy.
Instead of having, if we go to the town and get an appropriation from the town, it can spread over time and it's not a big hit.
So does the Prudential Committee understand that? Do they, I mean, have they addressed that? And that's where I'm kind of lost here. You know, what's the common understanding about what we want to cover with those rates?
Well, I don't want to speak for anyone. Prudential Committee, they may have expectations of what they would like to see us cover. I think our responsibility is for us to decide what we want to cover. And then we'll tell them this is what we think is fair, this is how we want to go about doing it, and make it, let people make a decision whether they want to accept it or not.
Unfortunately, I don't have it with me right now, but we had Jim figured out all this for us.
No,
he
gave us
what the rates would be if we wanted to add on $40,000, if we wanted to add on $90,000, if we wanted to add on $120,000.
For me, I don't
know why we need to pay a lot of money for a rate survey
of
a professional that's. And Fran wanted me, quite honestly, to bring Mike Daly in to do this. And I personally am not interested in Mike Daly coming in to do this.
He's gone, right?
He's already said he would not do this.
Yeah, right.
But I can tell you from my discussion with him that the information that was presented to us that I was going to be part of that conversation, he pretty much dismissed as not being based on any kind of professional someone that's in the business, how they would go about determining that those numbers. He didn't consider them to be real numbers. And there was a lot of things he added into it, and I didn't like hearing it, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
But he took into consideration things about the efficiency of our meters, the efficiency of the wells, any loss, and kind of the percentage of what the loss is. What happens if one year we have a year with a lot of rain, we don't use that much, as compared to one year we have no rain and we use a lot of water, and trying to find a balanced rate on that kind of stuff. There were things that what he would explain to me, these are things I tried to glean out of all the other stuff I was being hit with, that would be determined by a professional based on this, like you go to an engineer to give you a set of professional plans that are based on some sort of science, and he's talking about this rate survey being based on something like that.
A water audit?
We have those every year.
We just had a water
we
audit
every
done,
year.
Which
See,
might help a little bit with Patrick just did one.
Go ahead.
It should be done momentarily, and I can ask him to come down. And what he does is he comes down. They test so many of our meters to see how accurate they
accurate,
are.
Yeah. You do it all
they do stuff like that.
I'm just telling you that I was beaten down.
So let me just add my two cents into that, Don. That's coming from a guy that wants to do audits. That's coming from somebody that is interested in not maybe ours, but wants to facilitate us to go get some damn company to do this thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not interested in that, I personally. I don't think, and definitely from Mike, because you can't even talk to this guy. We've got people that you can't even discuss it with them.
I think we have enough information to determine what the rate would be if we can decide what we want to include in whatever we charge. That's my sticking point there, and maybe you're right. What we should say, these are the items that we're going to include, you know, the insurance and all this stuff, and here's what the rate will be.
To get this.
To get
we can do that.
Yeah,
we can do that.
And we can take that to the Prudential Committee and say, okay, we're not going to include payments on the new water tower, but we're going to include all the insurance and all the benefits and all that. And then see if they buy it. You know, throw the bait in the water.
Let us sound like the bylaws.
What is that?
I think there would have to be a clear understanding, though, if there was some emergency and we needed some extra money, that we could come back to the town for those funds. I mean, essentially, that would make, other than emergencies, if you included everything there, that would make the water commissioners autonomous from the rest of the it would be a public, but it, I mean, what would tie us then to the Kootuat Fire District? If we were collecting all the money that we needed to run the water company, and we required no town funds at all, if one, it can't work because of this business are going up and down every year,
right.
And I don't think we can save money. I don't think we can bank money, can we?
Well, we certainly can move the rates to what it costs us to produce the water. We know what that is, and.
But would you move those every year?
No.
No.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not. They might not be moved all the way up to the top of the rate hike immediately.
No.
In a lot of cases, they go through a 3-year period of being hiked to that. And, you know, quite honestly, they end up behind when they finally get to the 3 years when they were raising the hike. But, I mean, there's. My contention is there's just so many studies out there for us to look at.
Oh, yeah.
That, and we know what the other communities around us are doing, and you know, maybe we can make some headway with that and have a sensible increase.
Just so I'm clear, I mean, I'm not for. I did not like hearing anything I heard. You know that. I thought how many times I want to see it.
Yep.
Right.
But it was emphasized, and this is the message I want to bring back from that, sitting through that whole thing, was that he did not feel, as professional in his profession, that the numbers we were using was based on anything that was real in his mind. Okay?
Well, we have a small business here that we're running, and
the estimated price was like $10,000 to $12,000 to do a survey, to do a study on what the rate, how to increase the rate, and what the number should be, and taking all kinds of things into accountability, under account. And I just want to make sure that we're using. If there's any question about the numbers, or if there's any question about how we do this, what do we have to lose by doing it? I don't know.
I don't think we have anything to lose at all.
I'm not advocating for it. I just want to make sure that the message that I heard is being heard here.
I think what Vic said is important, Don. That why don't we have the Prudential Committee tell us how much more money they'd like us to raise? We might be able to avoid the entire thing. Yeah, what are they thinking that they want us to cover? That's what Vic is saying. If Mike Daly has this arbitrary number that we need to be, tell us the number.
Yeah.
If he's smart enough to be a professional at this thing, tell us the number. Why is it like a big secret?
I wouldn't fight rate survey.
No, I wouldn't either.
Yeah. We were clear about what the expectation is.
I think we're
unanimous about that. That's why I think the operational cost that we cover right now and this additional cost that we don't cover, I think, is the target, at least in my mind.
So the last 2 years we were plus anyways.
Yeah.
We were $600 and something plus.
Yeah.
And then we were, this year was 12,000 for us?
Pretty good chunk of money.
It was more. And we didn't even, of course, Mike, he wants to walk around some of the taxes and all the, you know, and the return money that they recovered. The recovered money doesn't get put in ours, it just gets put in the funds.
No.
He also doesn't want to pay some of our employees full-time.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean.
I understand that.
He has no clue. That would be the last fight for me. That's ridiculous.
That's kind of stepping over the line where he's acting as a manager,
right?
And not acting as in his position.
So, Chris, do you have something to add there?
Uh,
I'm just listening to you guys talk, and you guys have the bylaws and have read them and everything else, and it says the water commissioners still have the care, custody, management, control of all property, real and personal, relating to the water department, and shall have the authority to determine and establish from time to time the schedule of water rates. You don't have to talk to anybody.
Yes, yeah, that's what Boudreaux told me, too.
Yeah. If you want to go over, if you guys want to raise the rate a certain amount right now and do it slowly over the next, you know, every 3 years do a slight increase. If you want to do a $120,000 this year, you guys have all the right in the world to do what you want now. I understand you're trying to be nice to everybody, and it's almost at the point where we're trying to feed too many hands here. Everybody is trying to get there. I'm the guy that's going to have to go out there. If they come to us and say, we want to be totally sufficient, I want you to raise the rates so that we get an extra $150,000 coming in a year. I'm the guy who's going to go out there and going to get it from everybody.
Well, the backlash of that is some people may stop using it, and then we have a downfall.
Yeah. But we can actually structure this like we do, add another tier, and make it
phenomenal. We did it once already. We didn't have a rate survey.
Everything can go up, but as you go up to your tiers, once you get over someone using over 100,000 gallons of water a year, put it up higher. You know, instead of just like if you're putting everything 40 cents a thousand, put that up a dollar. I don't care. That's the people that have the sprinkler that has a bright green lawn, and they're going to pay it no matter what you put out there. You know, maybe it's 150, you know, but our highest tier, either you add a new tier or you spike it up ridiculously, is my feeling. Because those are the people that are hurting everybody right now. But.
Then I also have people tell us that what like what I pay, they're amazed at how low it is.
Oh, yeah.
And they have no problem with paying more.
Right. We do pay, the rates have not been really raised in a long time. They should have probably been raised 10 years ago.
Yeah. Well, we have the documents showing the rates in the surrounding towns compared to us, and we're lower.
So we do have to go up, but I just, you know, I don't think in this day and age, with the amount of retired people in town, if we were to do something drastic, we would get a lot of backlash.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that comes back to the point, if we're going to raise the rates, we're need to say we're raising these rates to cover these expenses.
Yep.
That's a good call, Vic.
Yeah.
That's a good call, Vic. I don't think there's any reason that we can't do that. We can probably get that accomplished.
Yeah. No, I think we can.
I don't see how you can. Capital improvements should not be part of that at all.
No.
Yeah, and that's where I agree with you 100%, but does the financial committee agree with that? And maybe we shouldn't worry about that.
I don't think that.
I don't think we can.
I'm not worried about that.
I don't think we can worry about that.
Okay.
I don't think we can. They don't know. They've entrusted us. The people have entrusted us to run the water department. They don't. They got their hands full doing the everyday stuff over there. All right. So. What have we decided? Have we decided that we're not going to do a rate survey?
I will talk to Patrick O'Neill from Tater and Howard.
Okay.
Ask him what's going on with the water audit. Does it have a suggestion of rate changes in it? Is there some kind of scientific thing that he'd like to show me? He might even, you know.
Yeah, he's good like that.
Give me something that I could put together and give to you guys to look at, even if it's an email up.
Can we go to Plymouth or Mashpee or some town that has done a rate survey and get a copy of their rate survey?
They're online.
We have survey from I don't know how many years ago.
Yeah. There's a fresh one.
Is there some magic in there that's done that we haven't discussed? I mean, is there some kind of...
Every community, when we first started talking about this, we had the printout of every community. Yeah.
I will get you a copy of the last water rates that was done
What is the procedure?
Okay. It was done by a firm but I think it was financial consultants.
The procedure's simple.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If we're not missing something, some kind of, you know,
we did it before, we simply voted on it.
Yeah, let's take a look at that old one. And if we're not missing anything, I'm comfortable not doing a rate survey.
Yeah, okay.
Again, whatever we're doing, it's not going to change till next year.
Right.
No, we're going to have to, though, decide pretty soon if we want to do something in the minimum, because the minimum bills are going out October 1st.
Yeah.
Well, we're not going to get that accomplished.
We're
not going to get that accomplished.
No, it's going to have to, we can always send out something in a mass mailing saying if rates are changing. We were just thinking it might be a notice we could put in with the excess bills, or if we sent something up, but we're not sending it to everybody.
Yeah.
So some people don't call.
We're doing the diligent thing. We've had our hands full with a lot of stuff other than doing the rate survey and the rate changes.
All right.
We're in the plus. Let's get the information together on the rate surveys. You know which one I'm talking about, the one, the state rate survey?
Talking the one from that I get every year.
Yeah, you sent it out. I had it in my email. We had it in an email.
It's probably still around someplace. I'll find it. But I also have the Kachua Water Department's last one done, and it was actually done by Mike Daly's firm. This is like 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, a long time ago.
Right.
So,
but we didn't have a rate survey to change the minimum, and when we went to that new minimum, we didn't have a rate survey done to do that.
No.
We didn't.
Was actually a gentleman that was working, that was here, said, you know what, let's add it here and lower it down, because people getting overcharged.
It was Jack.
I believe, yeah.
Yeah. So the commissioners decided to make a change in the minimum.
Yeah.
And then made a change in the rate.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a good thing. It was a plus, because
if you hit them with the rate like that, and you hit them up high, you're promoting conservation. People like to see that.
Yeah.
And I'm talking people like the name starts with DEP. Like to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
We need to
set
the next meeting.
Okay, we got a calendar thing there.
Yeah, Jen gave you one of her fancy dances.
I like that. She's pretty good.
She said you guys were so impressed, she made another one.
I shamed her into doing that for you. But I can't believe Chris did that one.
So is it the third or the fourth? It's the third one, isn't it?
Well, yeah, that's where we were, but then we got displaced by the dance group, so I don't know.
We're talking about Wednesdays, though, now.
Are we now Wednesdays?
For the time being, we are, I believe.
Okay, so the
19th.
How's that?
October 16th, 17th, 18th.
October 19th?
That's a Thursday?
It's a Wednesday.
My son's getting married the 16th. I'll be in Maine the 16th. I should be back.
Me too.
But
you're getting married too?
Well, I'm going to be in Maine.
Oh.
Not even at his son's marriage.
Okay, so we're going to go for the 16th?
Well, if that's too 19th. Close, we can 19th, move it to the 26th if that doesn't work for you guys.
I'm available for either one of them.
What? Let's go with the 26th, just in case I have people that are still lingering. I don't know what everybody's going to do with his family.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to stay Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Chris, 26th okay with you?
Sure. I can't make it. I'll just send the 18th.
Send the 18th.
I'm going to look. I know.
We can plan more. We can find out when you can't be here, then we'll plan a meeting then.
Hunting, gotcha. The 8th, the week after the 8th is hunting. November. That's November is when we're going hunting.
You going to November? I'm going to the end, of November. Beginning of December. I'm going Columbus Day week. I'll be up in Maine then. I got like a week off every day for the next 4 months, so I just try to work it around you guys.
It's October 12th, isn't it?
Siri, put a meeting in my calendar for October 26th at 6 PM. Thank you. Is that right?
So.
Okay, I set up your meeting for October 26, 2016. Shall I schedule it?
Yeah, schedule it.
Maybe. 6 p.m.
I didn't find any appointments about maybe in the next 3 months.
Thank you.
So, when's the next Prudential Committee meeting?
I believe the next Prudential meeting
for signing anything, if they're gonna
is the Tuesday after, I mean the Monday after the 20th, which will be.
And that would be the 24th. Right there it says, okay.
It's, yeah. It's either that's probably the 26th. Isn't this September?
No, I'm looking at October. Oh, so September is coming. Okay. So the only reason I'm asking is October. If there's a determination of who's going to sign the contract, whether it's Prudential or us, because I know that Jack would like to know a ballpark.
Yep.
Is there a chance that could be signed at this September meeting?
I would love to see the Prudential Committee take part and sign this.
I would too.
But if they don't want to sign this,
they
according
don't.
To Boudreaux,
we can do it.
I can sign this. And this is not this is not a signature that builds this thing. This is a signature that keeps us moving in the right direction so that they can get they could go through this whole thing and not be able to get permits from the Planning Committee or the Cape Cod Commission.
So let me ask this
question. We're stalled, is what it amounts to. It's almost the same thing as the tower, as the cell towers. We don't have time to mess around with those things anymore.
The question I have then is, do we make like a vote of affirmation that without having to actually meet again to give you the okay to sign it if Prudential doesn't want to and we need to move?
Well, I think what I
think we've already done that.
Was that we didn't have the authority that the Prudential Committee did, so you spoke up and said that you spoke to Mark.
I did. I went to Mark already.
Well, I thought what I heard from Fran was this is the Prudential Committee's problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a gray area because it's not Prudential Committee property. It's to a fire
district
property.
Exactly.
And they feel as though they are the signing for all fire district property unless it's something to do, if there's not a structure on it. Like they don't, if it's something to do with a pumping station, no. If it's something to do with any property of real property, no. But if it has to do with something that says, when you look it up on the assessor's book, it says to a fire district, it doesn't say to a water pump. They feel they should be the signature on that.
That'd be fine.
Yeah.
But I hope I was clear tonight. They need to shake it up because they haven't been paying attention.
I think you sent them that message.
So we're inches away, and now you can't stall these guys that have put this time in. I've been talking to Fran, or trying to talk to Fran. I called her 3 times this weekend. It was fine. But I didn't. I just got a message on my machine that she'd be at the meeting. I needed to talk to her.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I just don't want to put everything into that one basket and have Will Willis think about it for another month and then another month.
I think, Vic. I know that tonight was the first time that I felt like maybe you have some reservations about this that I haven't heard from you. And I didn't want to sideswipe you, but I felt like I was getting sideswiped over there, and that's not the thing to do now. We're past this already, you know.
I think what took me back when Jen sent out that map the other day, and I didn't realize that it was going to take place right there on Sanford Hill. And I mean, what I've heard is in town objections to a cell phone that's monopole looking industrial, and we don't want anything industrial in Kituate. And I mean, that sentiment is through town. And, and you know, when you walk down Sampson's Mill Road, if we put that solar
solar array there, that's definitely going to look industrial.
Well, the other option is, this is another option. That 200-foot buffer, make it 50-foot.
And move it
so
back.
The people that walk don't have to see it, but the people that live there are going to have a problem with seeing it through their backyard.
Oh, I know. I know.
So, I mean, look at this.
Yeah.
So and like Teddy was saying, you might be able to get away with it because people aren't supposed to be in there, but they can still run back and forth. But they're going to have to look at it.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to say anything about it as long
well,
as
we're we've
not
been kind. We've been kind to our residents, and the other water departments are not. Believe me. I mean, Vic, it really, I'm saying this to you honestly.
No, I know.
And you know as well as I do. You and I both have used that area. For what have we seen each other in there for 30 years, 25 years?
Yeah.
And I know that people want to use it, but we've come to a point where we need to replace some income. That's what I think. You know, if our community wanted us to pull out tomorrow and do none of it, fine.
Yeah.
We'll do none of it. We won't put up any antennas, and we won't put up a solar tower. And Chris and we'll just go back to sending that, and you pay it out of your taxes.
Yeah.
It's up to you. It's pretty, it's just, and I'm the, you know as well as I do, I'm the first one to say, don't take down any trees. I mean, I'm out there in the woods day in and day out.
I don't know whether you got involved when, you know, they talked about putting a solar array on the cemetery property back there.
Mm-hmm.
And the objection from the public was people use that. It's part of that continuous green area that goes from the watershed down through the cemetery. You know, over to Eagles Pond, through the old farm there.
They use the road. They don't use the woods.
Well, they do use the woods, though. I mean, I run into people on that path from the cemetery up to Sanford Mill Road.
Yeah, but on the path. Yeah, on the path, right?
On the path, yeah,
mm-hmm.
But there's a bunch of paths back there.
Mm-hmm.
But then most of the paths that I see in the woods that I go into where I work, kids going off in the woods to do stuff that
the ATV
issue
is a whole other.
There's a road
that
goes from by almost to Teddy's that goes through there and used to go straight across Mariner Circle right to the Texaco station. It used to be an old road that went right straight through from Putnam Ave just about to there.
Yep.
I don't know what it was called. It was an old ancient way. It hasn't been traveled by a vehicle in a long time.
Oh, right, right.
So it's considered now an ancient way or gone, whatever you want to
paper,
say.
Paper road.
Paper road, right.
Not even, right.
So, I mean, there is that road you're talking about that has paths going off. But one goes to your cul-de-sac. One goes off to towards the cemetery on the back side there.
Mm-hmm.
I know
there's a brand new path in there. Somebody cut a path over at the over to the graveyard, over to the cemetery. In the back of our development because the corner lot got sold, shut down. So they can't go through the corner lot on
it. Oh, yeah.
That
really?
Path is cut, shut down, and now it's a path cut there.
Oh, that little lot that was in back of those other lots?
Yeah.
That sold finally?
Yeah.
That was for sale for a long time.
Yeah.
Are they building?
So here's my take. I don't know. Yeah, they got the signs up there. They're clearing it.
Good quiet neighborhood then.
I'm not quite sure of the. I mean, we're going to go to the Civic Association meeting coming up on next week on the 20th. I think it's, you know, I think at that stage of the game we're going to hear, hopefully, what. But once again, I mean, do we just let the Civic Association go with the community, the people that are there, or do we bring some other people into this thing? We want to. You know, I mean, there are other people in this community that are kind of excited about having a solar array and kind of excited about having it paid for.
I think all you can do is, you know, post it, try and get the public to attend and participate. And if they choose not to, I mean, you can't get them in here to vote.
You can't.
You know,
yeah,
so what?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of all the things that have changed in my eye view of what was 20 years ago when I moved here. It's the tower that was upstand to it.
Mm-hmm.
The windmills we see over by by the base.
Yeah.
The windmills we see with that text and all that stuff. After a while, when they were new, they were like, oh my gosh, look at that. And now you don't see them anymore. You just don't see them.
Right.
see text because it blew down.
I know, exactly.
In fact, now, he's got a new one there.
He's got a little one
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
That's because he couldn't get a permit for the
yeah.
big one again.
But once the shock of the change of it is it becomes part of the everyday visual thing, it doesn't become an issue with the visual part of it anymore. If it interferes with places you used to walk, I mean, I get that because there's basically there's a favorite trail you went through that you have to be able to go through because now there's a chain link fence and there's all these panels. But you can find other places to go for a walk. There's no other place to put that, you know, I don't think.
Well, we had, what, five sites originally?
I know we did.
Them.
They all had problems.
The problem was that they were so close. That they were so close to the...
And what was ideal about these two sites was because you had that large buffer away from the residential areas, so they would be like it wasn't even there. So, like I know, when I went to that meeting this last week about the
that's essentially the one
the Eversource plant thing they want to do in Sandwich. This one guy, and I was kind of doing an inspection of his house that afternoon. He had a house that he spent a lot of money on renovating, and now 50 feet from his house is going
to
be clear.
Well, and this is the original book that we got, and that's the original setup for that one.
Yeah.
And that one always had the road in it. You know, the road was in this one.
Actually, there's a buffer there between the road and the power line. Because this is
that's
the road
different.
Right here.
Here's the power line right here. Right.
This is the road, so it's outside of the solar array.
Yeah.
This may not show a continuous border around it where on the south side they want to clear cut more to keep the shade off the panels.
Right.
That doesn't reflect.
No, I know.
Well,
I know.
The actual fencing that goes around the solar arrays is not going to be on the road.
No.
And at some point we got.
But the cleared land
is
beyond it. You might be able to get them to leave some trees there if you move it
back
a scotch that way.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's something that's...
I think that'd be something that's desirable.
So you could leave a 15-foot buffer of trees along there.
Yeah.
And so that the road would continue to be under the trees. And, I mean, I don't know if that satisfies. I don't know if that's what you're looking for. I mean.
The shape of that's a lot different than the shape of the
right.
That he showed us.
They definitely have a little more land. They went for a little more land.
Yeah.
But also, he said right from the beginning, though, the initial plots are just an initial thing.
Yeah.
That's the plot now. I actually think there's probably less road now affected by that. But there you go. You could... make this thing shift a little bit if you wanted to. I'm sure it could, but that's got a lot of. I don't know how much of that's cleared area with the road there. You're going to need to move. You go to 150 foot buffer behind there, or what? I mean, 50 feet.
Every movement going this way brings it closer to this way.
Those houses,
right.
And this is people's their value. You know, if they got houses worth $250,000, and that can be considered to be an impingement on that.
Right.
The other thing you could do is decrease the size of this a little bit. Just take out the lower edge of it. And that wouldn't give us, well, it would give us probably enough money. Because he's saying now that would generate $85,000. Push that up that way. Yeah.
Push that up that way.
Yeah.
I don't know what the effects are of that, but yeah.
We need.
You can always ask that question.
Yeah, we need 73, and he's saying this would give us 85 to, credits. Anyway, I think there's some juggling you can do there.
Well,
that would, and if this is just me, I can go walk in the woods any place. But when they proposed this for the cemetery, there was a firestorm of people that were saying, and I don't think. You know, in that northern part of the cemetery, the undeveloped part of the new cemetery, I don't think many many people walk in there. I walk in there, but that's thorn bushes and and the other thing that you find in there is deer signs.
Yeah.
And that's why I walk in there, but the ticks and this is more utilized than the northern part of the cemetery ever will be. Anyway.
I know. You go back to kind of the same thing again. I mean, it's great that it is, and I'm glad that it is, but it's not what it's supposed to be for.
Well, you guys are going to have to pick up on the 20th because I won't be here.
Well, I'm going to be in Texas.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll be drilling the well.
I won't be doing much. That meeting I've learned, that will be a meeting that those pros are going to have to do their job.
Yeah.
That's why they're here. And if those pros can't do their job, then they won't get what they're supposed to get. There's nothing that I can do to convince the neighborhood other than say that Vic, this is important, that the water commissioners are supporting this.
Yeah.
So you have to tell me.
Yeah.
This is the 20th?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. At some point.
Well, next week.
Next
throw,
week.
Throw the flare up for me.
Yeah.
I didn't know you guys weren't going to be there. It's just going to be.
I'm leaving on a jet plane Sunday.
I've learned already. I went into that Cape Cod Commission meeting and I said something there, and Chris said, don't say a thing ever again in a meeting. All right, you're going to adjourn, yeah.
Make a motion to adjourn.
I got one of those little shocking things. So push the button.
Second. All of the favor?
Aye.
All right.